Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick. We're here to continue our countdown of the top five edge rushers in this draft, as seen by me and Josh Reed. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Grace for having me back again.
It's very fun. It's weird to start a second show right away and then have to re-intro it. But we talked a little bit in the first show about some of the guys at the bottom of the list. Darius Robinson on both of our lists, fairly high. Adisa Isaac was a guy we had a significant difference on. I know you liked Austin Booker a little bit more than I did. And Marshawn Neilan, we both had fairly high on the list, even though he's played at a low level of competition at Western Michigan. But some good listing there, I think. Definitely some guys that'll be available when the Ravens draft, probably in the second round, who might be legitimate targets. And now we're going to get up into some of the guys who the Ravens, if they don't take them at 30, they won't get them, and other players who they won't get no matter what, because they're going to go a little higher than 30. So we're going to still talk about them and have some fun talking about what we see in these guys. I've made my rankings by how they fit the Ravens 3-4 scheme. Even so, I had a five tech effectively get on my list as one of the players in terms of Robinson, but we each did our list a little differently. Yours also Ravens centric in terms of how you put it together.
I tend to always do things with the Ravens eye in mind.
Okay, all right, very good. So we're to your number five guy. Did we already talk about him earlier?
No. So my number five. My number five guy was Darius Robinson. My number four guy is Chop Robinson.
Okay, and he's not my number five guy. So he's next on the agenda. Tell us about Chop Robinson.
Okay, well, Chop Robinson, I wouldn't quite say a Dolphin 08 2.0, just because, you know, Penn State guy, uber athletic, didn't have a whole lot of production. But he kind of is a Dolphin 08 2.0, not as strong as a run defender straight off the back. Like, I mean, Odafe always calling card, even though he had zero sacks his final year at Penn State, was a great run defender. That's not really the name of Chop Robinson's game. The name of his game is explosion, and the guy is incredibly explosive. It's just that, you know, that explosion didn't necessarily translate into production. And he's a former Maryland guy, transferred from University of Maryland to Penn State, and he's a Baltimore native. So, you know, if he were to land with the Ravens, it'd be a homecoming of sense for him. But I think pairing him with the guy with his elite athletic traits with the Chuck Smith could be magic.
Yeah, it's a great point in terms of a lot of these. Chuck Smith comes up for every unpolished pass rusher, and Chop Robinson certainly is that. Chop Robinson is that, but he has those traits that you really love: athleticism, get off and bend, both of them, and you know, there's not a lot of guys in this class who really had both of those things. Both great get off and bend. There's guys with bend and there's guys with great get off. And there's a bunch of other guys who go to the bull rush right away. And there's, you know, there's other people who are even successful doing that. There's other guys who don't have much in the way of pass rush moves at all. And they're trying to get by on motor. Robinson is probably a little bit like that right now, but I agree with you that Chuck Smith could fix it. He has so much left to learn, but the talent is obvious. You didn't talk about testing is off the board, all across the board is good. I think you hit on that enough, but the jumps corroborate the explosiveness is one of the things I look for, is to see are his jumps really support that get off. Just in case I'm either looking to call it that way, or that I watch somebody else's highlights and they have all his best get off plays, you know, put together in a highlight package. But he's been reasonably unproductive at Penn State in terms of actual finishes. He did get some pressures, but I think again, you're buying into the traits if you buy into Chop Robinson. I will say this, my concern about him is arm length at 32.5 inches, that he's a little bit short there, even with all the other athletic gifts that the guy has.
Yeah. I mean, like arm length and tackles and arm length in defensive ends or outside pass rushers are usually synonymous with success or just, you know, consistent production and stability at both of those positions. But he's a guy that, man, I mean, now some people, like I said, you know, of course, you know, the pre-draft process, it's all about hype, and you know, some people could say he has the fastest get off they've ever seen and all that kind of stuff. But I do think that with some refinement, you know, he can translate that get off and that bend, that ability to get around the edge in, I wouldn't say a blink of an eye, but faster than most guys can get into their third or fourth step in their pass set. It can definitely be a tremendous asset for any team he lands with, but especially with the Ravens, where he can receive some of that unique, rare tutelage from a guy like Chuck Smith. And, you know, just, you know, guy like his former, wasn't really former teammate, because there are times at Penn State didn't overlap, but from a guy like another former Nittany Lion and Adafa Elway, who's kind of been there, done that, gone from that athletic, that uber athletic pro, you know, profile to a consistent contributor, if not higher, soon to be a higher level pass rusher at the next level.
All right. So Chop Robinson, number 5 for me, number 4 for you. So we've gone through your number 4 guy. We'll go to my number 4 guy, who's Chris Braswell of Alabama. But wait, let's talk about Chop Robinson for a second, because I've seen projections of him going to the Ravens in the first round. I think that would be an incredible reach for Chop Robinson. Where do you see him going?
I honestly don't think he's going to make it to the Ravens in the bottom of the first round. Guys like that, man, they tend to fly off the board. I mean, we saw a guy like Owe, who had 0 sacks his final season, come off the board at 31 overall. And even though he hasn't had the most stellar career up to this point, guys who blow up the combine, you should go one or two ways. Like, you get your DK Metcalf, so even though they blow up the combine, they don't go as high as people project, or you have guys that blow up the combine and go a lot higher than people project. I've seen him as high as, I mean, I'm in lockstep with you. I think it'd be a reach, just given that, you know, got a lack of refinement and lack of production. But we've seen teams reach on guys for less. We've seen guys taken in the top 10 just for running blazing 40 times. You know,
yeah,
so
I've seen that. How's that worked out for Darius Hayward Bay and John Ross?
John Ross, yeah. No, like, so as I've said, people fall in love with the traits so much, especially in the way that the league is going now, that where people are, even the Ravens to an extent, dating back to the Patrick Queen draft, been willing to bet a lot more on traits over production and experience. You know, a guy like Patrick Queen, 1-year starter, and didn't have a whole lot of production throughout college, but ended up being a first-round pick. Guy like Adafa Elway, 0 sacks his final season in college, but went on to be a first-round pick. So a guy like Chop Robinson, I'd put him in a second round, but I could easily see him getting drafted as high as the top 20, honestly.
Okay, well, that'd be a hard no for me. I think the way the Ravens get Robinson, honestly, is to trade down into the second and hope he's there at, you know, 38, 42 in there. And honestly, I think there's going to be 28 teams that basically are a hard no on Chop Robinson in the first round. And there's going to be a couple teams who want to do it, or 4 teams maybe. But that's all it takes. That's all it takes is for one team to, in fact, to decide that they want traits over production, decide that
the
they
Eagles?
Want
the Eagles.
Could be the Raiders. I mean, they're always looking for that kind of, you know, player who's more tradey. They think they can do it better than anybody else, and they kind of an arrogance there that's you know, beaten them a couple times. So anyway, I can understand why he might go higher. I'm a hard no at 30 on Chop.
I'm lockstepping with you. I don't believe in drafting guys that high just because they have alluring traits.
Chris Braswell of Alabama, my next guy at number four. Another guy I think goes probably early in the second round. So I don't see him. I wouldn't want him for the Ravens at 30. I don't even know what would have to happen for me to want Braswell at number 30. But a very different fallout of the boards would have to occur at offensive tackle and at some other positions, like quarterback probably, because quarterback, the Ravens don't want a quarterback who's going to be drafted the first round. But one of the things the Ravens are really hoping for is to have six quarterbacks draft before they even pick, including both Nixon Penix, who's a real question whether they'll go in the first or second round. But, you know, if the stars somehow aligned, I don't even know how the stars could align for it to be okay for either Braswell or Robinson Chop to be a first round pick. All right, so Chris Braswell, another Baltimore product. He went to St. Francis. Mm-hmm. One of the things I really love about him is that he's a potential Sam. 14.4% of his pass snaps were in coverage in 2023. He's very raw in terms of his pass rush moves, which means he's another Chuck Smith protege in waiting. He has very violent hands. So you watch the guy, and he's playing like a video game where he has to get speed out of those hands almost. And Pernell McPhee had it. He can punch. He can chop. Very good set of uses for them. But one thing is he's putting in play all the time. Placement is a different matter, but I'm not an expert on placement. The one thing I'll say about placement guys is that when – people are known for having great hand placement. One of the things you notice is that the offensive tackle almost never seems to get their hands on them. And you don't even notice the use of hands. There is one guy in this draft who really is a hand placement guru, and we'll talk about him a little later. But Braswell, I like for the hands. Not a great bend guy, not particularly specialist. He is explosive off the snap, at least from what I can see, but that's not really corroborated by his jumps. And that bothers me slightly. You know, it certainly makes him not a first round pick in that way. He's only had about 1,000 snaps of college play. Now that happens a lot at Alabama because these guys are the best of the best, and Alabama has the best of the best and the best of the best behind them waiting. So JAD was in that same position where he didn't start a whole bunch of college games. And that's been the same case with Braswell and only about 1,000 snaps played. Situational pass rusher, as I would see it, I think that basically meets the Ravens' needs. And I think, he'd be a good backup. He'd be a great pickup if the Ravens could drop to the middle of the second round to get him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I have him as my top situational pass rusher guy. I didn't have him in my top 10, not because I forgot about him, but I had a kind of little sub-stack of like ideal situational pass rusher guys, and he's at the top of my list. He's a guy that had to wait his turn behind a guy like Will Anderson, and then him and Dallas Turner really kind of took off this past year. And both of those guys are guys I can see. Well, we'll talk about Dallas a little later, but Sam guys with the ability to drop into coverage as well as rush the passer.
Yeah, it's nice that they play in a pro style defense kind of thing. You always hear that about the offense, but to have that versatility, that learn that flexibility at the college level that allows your pass rush to be supplemented by a safety or inside linebacker blitz or a slot corner blitz when you want to is a great thing to have on your resume on draft day. It's just a really nice additional feature to say, yeah, this guy can play Sam.
Yeah, which, I have him as the Robin to Dallas Turner's Batman.
Are you concerned about Braswell's production being higher because Turner was opposite him?
No, not really. Because when you watch his tape, it wasn't like he was winning just because the other side of the line was devoting more attention to Turner. He was still winning on his own merit. And then you watched him. I watched him out at the Senior Bowl. I watched his highlights and some clips of him in one-on-one drills there. And he was still winning pretty consistently. So he's a guy that I feel like can win on his own merit, not just because the other guys get more attention.
All right, we're getting down to where we don't have to probably make people guess about who the final three are, but I guess we're to your number three guy now, right?
Yeah, my number three guy is Jared Verse from Florida State. And he's a guy that, you know, was projected to go as high as top 10 this time last year, like in all the way too early mocks. But he's a guy that didn't exactly light the world on fire his last year at Florida State, but was still very solid and still, I believe, is a solid first round pick.
Yeah, athletic freak. So if you want freaks with first round picks for certain, and he's 458 in the 40. Again, you're not going to have a Dafi Owe ever come through the combine again, or not, at least probably not anytime soon. Or if it happens, it'll be once every 25 years kind of thing. 35 inch vertical and a 10.7 broad. Those are great explosiveness numbers. If he can learn the tricks, read the center well, obviously is what he's often going to want to try and do to get off quickly. He'll be a terror from that perspective. 31 bench reps with 33.5 inch arms. So 33.5 inch is still above average for an edge defender. And 31 bench reps is fantastic for that kind of arm length. We talked a lot about that on the first episode, by the way. Josh, with his weightlifting background, really had a lot to add to that conversation. But I really appreciate that. Excellent basis. A base, I should say, of pressures for his sack total. So he had 9 sacks, but he had 58 total pressures. That's one every 6.4. That's a very repeatable ratio. So he didn't pick up sacks because somebody else is creating them for him, as might have been the case for a player like Braswell, for example. And I don't believe I actually looked at his ratio of sacks to total pressures, but one every 6.4 is repeatable and could even improve from there, depending on the situation he gets. He's had a big problem with tackling in his college career, 23.4% missed tackle rate, which is why I have him lowest of the big three in this one. So I have also had him at number three, like you did. I had only 21 coverage snaps in his senior year, 28 his whole college career. So this isn't a Sam guy. He'll play on the rush side. And in some ways, that probably rules him out for the Ravens if they want to keep Owe at rush instead of go through a big conversion project with him. I don't believe they will. So I think they'll want to keep Owe on the rush side and try and pick up a different guy to play Sam. I don't believe there's any way he drops to the Ravens at 30. I'd be excited if he did. I'd be running the card up, depending on who is still available on the offensive tackle board. I'd be running the card, I think, up with Jared Verse if he was available at 30.
Yeah, I'm right there. Of the big three, I think he has the best chance to fall to the Ravens, although I still think it's highly unlikely. I'm right there with you. The only reason I'd pass him up would be to go get a tackle if there are a tackle that they really like was still on the board. Not a developmental guy, but like a guy who could contribute right away.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be a guy who can contribute one way. There's a level of developmental the Ravens are going to have to accept if they're getting a left tackle. You know, there's all the really good guys who can play left tackle, they're going to be gone. There's a couple of the left tackles, using air quotes, who are going to be.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Playing center or guard at the NFL level.
Graham Martin?
Yeah, Duke guy, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, he's just doesn't fit. Then there's a couple other guys I ruled out because I'm just doing my IOL rankings tonight, you know, waiting for this show to do here. And I'm looking through my notes on the various players, and you know, there's three or four guys now that are on the tackle list for a lot of draft lists, but they're going to play inside in the NFL. And this is true of, you know, players in past drafts. Most of them either had problems with their feet or problems with length. Excuse me, such that they couldn't hang around at that position. So anyway, I forgot why we went down
the only reason we pass on Verse would be for a tackle. And
I'm actually okay with a 1 year to 2 year plan to get the left tackle we need, because you have Ronnie Stanley for this year. He stays there. the guy is a emergency fill-in but is not completely ready to play the position, I'm okay with that. As long as we think he's got all the traits, which means he's got the feet and he's got the length to play on that left side. If he's lacking either of those, I'm not really interested. I don't want a 32-inch arm guy who we're hoping works out next year. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of projections of like Kingsley Suamataia from BYU. He'd be the ideal for one for me if they were able to take a developmental left tackle. Not developmental, but like, all right, let Ronnie play out this year and then slide him in to left tackle next year. He'd be my ideal guy if the Ravens I'm fairly confident he will be on the board at 31 too. Honestly,
I wouldn't even care if it's a slight reach if other people have mocked him at 35 or whatever. He's an outstanding possibility. And by the way, he is a guy probably who steps right in at guard and then can play left tackle. They might even want to do that, even if it sets a player back like Voorhees in his first year a little bit. Or maybe Voorhees just isn't ready. I mean, we're banking so much on Voorhees, and the interior offensive line class, in fact, this year is so weak that a player like Suamataia has additional value in terms of his flexibility there. But if you look at the interior offensive line group, it's terrible. Oh my God, it's terrible. So anyway, I would be really excited. And the guys who are good, you know, a lot of them are centers. They're not they're guys who don't belong at guard. It's really easy to see why so much money was thrown at guards this free agency period.
Yeah, it's always a correlation between the money they spent in March and the players that are picked in late April.
Yeah. Anything else about Verse that I want to say? We talked about that. He's a Russia linebacker only. Yep. And I think, you know, correcting the tackling problems with some good coaching is probably something the Ravens can do. I mean, it's not like the Ravens haven't had their share of guys who have been kind of weak tacklers and still been on the defense, like really Stone and Queen fit that description, but they haven't had a whole lot of weak tacklers that they've been satisfied with. And there've been other guys who've just improved once they got here.
Yeah.
All right. So you had Verse at number three. I had Verse at number three. Go ahead with your number two guy.
My number two guy, he's probably going to be the first edge taken off the board. But my number two guy is Dallas Turner from Alabama. He's a guy like that. And he kind of took over the reins from Will Anderson after Will Anderson got taken third overall last year's draft, and had a terrific season this past year, double digit sacks, and was really established himself as that premier pass rusher for Alabama. And he can do it all on the edge, man. And he can drop into coverage, a good off ball. I mean, I even saw some people projecting him as an off ball linebacker, like kind of like a lot of people kind of compare him to Michael Parsons as far as a guy who can do both things. You know, people didn't even realize that Michael Parsons could rush off the edge as well as he did until DeMarcus Ware started training him in the training camp. It was kind of like a funny thing at the end of Hard Knocks that year, which actually ended up turning out to be the best thing for him. So he's a guy that you definitely want to start on the edge. And if you need him to play off ball, then maybe.
Yeah, Peter Boulware would be the Ravens thing. I mean, he's a guy who was an off-ball outside linebacker in a 4-3 scheme. And when injuries occurred in 2001, he put a hand in the dirt every single down and led the AFC in sacks. And, you know, we found out who he was is, you know, the duck turned into a swan in some ways with that. Although Boulware was certainly a very effective pass rusher even before then. It unlocked that much more value there. And in the 2000 season, he was a guy who would play standing up for two downs in a 4-3, and then he'd move up and play the edge, usually in a 3-1 quarter defense. Very unusual thing, but he's playing on the edge with McCrary opposite him and one guy, usually Burnett, playing a slant nose in that defense, and the only linebacker being Ray Lewis on the field with seven defensive backs. That was a really versatile, a lot of versatility was required out of him. And frankly, a lot out of Burnett as well. He's one of my favorite Ravens in terms of what he did. I hope somebody picks him in this other series we're doing in Recollections, because a great Raven and a lot of fun to watch.
Agreed.
All right. So I had Turner at number one. I love him in terms of being the athletic freak. He does have a few too many missed tackles for me. 238 coverage snaps in college makes him one of the few guys that you'll see in a draft ever who has a full workload of Sam snaps or dropping snaps in a year, and really projects very well to being a Sam by all characteristics. He played 647 snaps in each of the last two seasons. So Alabama can do a good job of keeping even a great player rested. They don't have to keep him on the field for 900. Or if you're Alabama, they may have cornerbacks who play close to 1,000 snaps because of all the extra games they end up playing. But he's a guy I think the amount that he's been rested is not uncommensurate with what he would get in the NFL playing for the Ravens. So he's my number one guy. He won't last a 30 in any case. I think he'd be an ideal Sam guy. That's part of the reason why he's there for me for the Ravens. But you like the other guy better, and tell us why.
Latu, man. He's the guy that, we mentioned in the previous pod that he's the most technically sound and efficient guy in this entire draft. I mean, you don't see guys come into the league this already refined and technically sound. I mean, he's probably going to be the only guy we don't mention Chuck Smith just because he's already at the level of most of the guys playing in the league. I mean, it really is impressive.
He is absurdly polished, just absurdly polished. And I mentioned the hand placement thing, and the comment obviously was about Latu. It's one where if watch Latu's highlights, just watch his highlights. There's a nice cut up out there, but there's probably 10 cut ups of different highlights from him. Watch what he does to the USC tackle in particular. I happen to watch that game, and so you get a lot more. But it's Tarquin is the guy who's at right tackle, who projects to be an NFL player at some point. He is going to play one more year at Oklahoma. I think he went through the transfer portal, and so he's going to play with his third school. But very solid right tackle player, projects to the NFL, no doubt about it. He made him look terrible. He barely got his hands on him during the game. And what you'll see is that you don't even really notice just how effectively he's using his hands. It almost doesn't look like he's using his hands. But what you do really notice, that the large movement covering the small one, is this right tackle just going nuts, trying to lean in and see if he can get his hands on Latu. And he's working him. He's inside, he's outside, he's whatever the other guy isn't. It's extremely polished. And, it may be unfair to say that, he is who he is right now. He has actually some middling athletic traits. I mean, he's big. That's nice. But he's got really short arms. That's not. He's got a 40 time, which is outstanding for his size at 464. But there are better people in this draft, including the other guy he's really up against for the number one edge pick. And he's got 23 and a half sacks in his last 25 college games with 5 forced fumbles. It's hard to mitigate that. I mean, he's playing in the Pac-12, okay. Maybe you discount it a little bit from that, but the fact that he's worked over some really good tackles, I think, has been a good thing. It's Michael Tarquin is the guy, the right tackle.
I was just saying, as far as his hand usage, I'm not sure how familiar you are with any of the Kung Fu movies, but you know who Ip Man is, the guy who trained Bruce Lee. There's a series of movies of this guy, of the guy who trained Bruce Lee, how to do martial arts. And if you watch all his Kung Fu, it's basically like all about the hand placement and the way he blocks the boards and blocks punches. And like, just like watching Latu, it was like, oh man, that guy's Ip Man out there. The way he's just swiping the hands of these offensive tackles who often are trying to lunge at him to try to beat him to the punch. Oh, swipe there, swipe left, swipe right. And it's just like, it's almost watching somebody do martial arts off the edge sometimes, the way he uses his hands so violently.
Love that scene in Once Upon a Time in America where the Bruce Lee-esque character, I'm not sure if he's actually Bruce Lee in the movie, comes over and he's bragging about his fighting style and whatnot, and he goes, well, you guys are a bunch of dancers and whatnot, and he ends up throwing the Bruce Lee character into the side of a car and putting a big dent in it. And then it turns out, of course, that's the producer's car, and so he's kicked off the movie because of it. But it's a good scene. I like that.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
Did I say Once Upon a Time in America? Because that's all.
Yeah, you did. Movie,
but
yeah, you
time. Did. that's really the question with Latu, and there's no doubt about it. He deserves to be a first round pick, but it's the question is how much of that extreme polish that outshines some deficiencies in terms of measurables should we be excited about? I think, you know, if you watch his instincts for the football in the air and his ability to drop the screens, even though he hasn't had a ton of drops in college, I think he probably could play Sam. I think he's got the speed for it. I think he's probably got the instincts for it. It's not like there aren't a lot of things I like about this. I just think Dallas Turner is the better athlete. I guess it doesn't matter in a sense because the Ravens aren't going to get either of these guys. You do see some kind of wistful drafts where Latu somehow falls to the Ravens at number 30, but I do not see that happening.
I think that I feel like it could be a miracle for him to drop out of the top 20, but like it would require to me the Ravens to trade up to land a guy like him. But as far as his instinct, going back to what you're saying, instinct off the edge, as far as feel for screens, I see a little bit of a sizzle in his game as far as his ability to kind of snuff out screens and just kind of like get his hands up. And like I said, like, you know, just because you can't use your hands to attack the offensive lineman doesn't mean you can't use them to still impact the play. And so for his ability to kind of like have that heads up awareness to get in the passing lanes of quarterbacks, whether it's on screens or just, you know, if the quarterback's a quick drop back and trying to throw the ball over the middle of the field or to the outlet receiver, the guy doesn't use his hands in all forms.
Yeah. All right. Exciting player here. So we have a little bit of difference of opinion at the top. I have Latu at number 2. You have Latu at number 1, obviously. Is there an overriding position, overriding reason why you liked him better than Turner?
I just feel like he's, like I said, just ready right off the assembly line. I do believe that Turner has the higher ceiling, and whereas Latu's ceiling is kind of, I would say, kind of capped, but it's definitely lower. But his floor is also the highest of anybody in this draft. If you want a guy who's going to come in and maybe even be an average 10-tech guy, Latu's your man. Whereas if you feel like a guy who could be, you know, like upper echelon to elite one day, given all the traits that he has, Turner's your guy. I'm always a high floor kind of guy, and I love those guys who really took the time to refine their craft even coming out of college, and he has a nice story too, just given that he was medically retired from Washington and then had to come back and pretty much not walk on at UCLA, but like, you know, earn his way into a prominent role there.
All right, outstanding stuff. We we'll see how this rolls out, and Josh will be as part of the panel on the first night of the draft. Really looking forward to that, Josh. Or I'm not sure. It's whenever you want to be on is when you're welcome to be on. But you contribute to the show all the time. Always really value your draft analysis, and we'll look forward to having you on the panel for that first night or for whenever you want to join. Other folks out there, if you want to watch that show, it's a great relaxing way to watch the draft. From people who only give a crap about how every single pick affects the Baltimore Ravens. So if you want that and you don't want human interest stories about how some other teams, you know, quarterback in the first round, Caleb Williams stories. I mean, we're going to be so tired of hearing about Caleb Williams by the time his name is actually called at the podium.
Tired now.
You're tired now. Yeah, there you go. And I think it's the wrong pick. I mean, we went through the quarterbacks. How did you feel? Do you feel about that strongly either way? That Daniels, you would have had him one higher, or even May?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like Williams has so many bad habits when it comes to like passing up, like, you know, like easier throws, or like you should have went the ball there, or why did you turn the ball there? And I don't know. I mean, the beauty's in the eyes of the beholder. When the Ravens aren't looking for a quarterback, I don't really pay too much attention to the quarterbacks. But I do like Daniels more.
Okay. All right. I do as well. All right. Josh, tell folks where they can find your work online and where they can talk football with you if they want to.
Okay. You can find all Ravens coverage at BaltimoreBeatdown.com. You can reach out to me via Twitter at Josh Reed 907. And I'm also a full-time sports reporter for Anchorage Daily News up here in Anchorage, Alaska.
A prolific writer, to say the least. Josh puts out a lot of content, and really appreciate having him on the show whenever he can make time for us. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. We've got the Recollection series going. I won't be recording any episodes of that for a while. But I'd love to get the name of the player that you want to talk about, get him on the list, and we'll get you on the schedule for later on. I'll be taping them all the way through June, probably even into July as that off period happens. If you've got another topic, post-draft or even pre-draft, hit me up quickly on those so we can get you on the schedule and we can talk a little bit of draft strategy, draft logic, maybe some things that you think you understand about the draft that are different than how the Ravens do it, or whatever you're passionate about. Anyway, hit me up and I'll get right back to you. Josh, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ken, like always.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.